are now listening to the Civic Hacker Podcast. I'm your host, Lori McNeil. For more, go to civic-hackers.org. Welcome to this bonus episode of the Civic Hacker Podcast. What makes this a bonus episode? Two things. One, you're going to be hearing from a guest host. This is special. It has only happened one other time. You may recall that we had a fantastic episode titled Two Hackers Walk Into a Zoom, where a friend of the network, Alan Hillary of Be Data Lit and the Du Bois Challenge, interviewed Samuel Sinyangwe of Mapping Police Violence and the Police Scorecard. And we'll link to that in the show notes in case you missed it. It was a wonderful conversation, as is the one that you're going to hear right now. For this episode, our guest host is Charlene Pua. She is an amazing volunteer that is serving the community on the Global Civic Hacker Action Team, which we affectionately call the GChat. She is based in Singapore, and I'm super excited for her to introduce you to some folks in her home country who are making a positive impact in their community using data and technology. And that leads us to the second thing about this episode that makes it worthy of the bonus label. If you've been listening a while, you know that episodes of the Civic Hacker Podcast are normally interviews gathered during our annual Civic Hacker Summit. But this episode actually features an organization that you haven't seen at the summit, making it a podcast exclusive. Pew, pew, pew. Sorry. So then, let's proceed. The organization is Better SG, and I'll let Charlene take it from here. Listen in.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
No problem at all. So I'll just jump into the first question. So if you could tell us a little bit more about Better SG, what is the organization all about and who are its key members and stakeholders?
Right. So I think obviously as a volunteer-run organization, every volunteer can kind of define it in their own way. But we define ourselves as a tech for good community in Singapore. I think our founding volunteers, so as to speak, were a mix of civil servants and technology workers who wanted to go beyond their day jobs and have an impact on society, but also wanted to make sure that they leveraged their skill sets, their experiences, do meaningful work rather than, as we like to call it, skill-based volunteering. I think we did see, even in a place like Singapore, where there is a lot of digital adoption, in general, you know, economic quality and baseline availability to digital services and products to the average individual, you still see a big digital divide, especially when it comes to nonprofits, charities, and the likes in terms of their organizational, operational models and their inability to leverage tech the same way as some of the other larger organizations or even commercial organizations could do it. And so that was one of the key gaps that Better SG looked to fill. And then beyond that, we also saw that there could be ground-up initiatives that leverage tech as a means to solve some societal problems. And these could be emerging problems like misinformation and scams, or even some things that have been age-old problems like racial equality and harmony. So that's what Better SG is about. It's a bunch of volunteers. And last we checked, we were a little over 2,000 volunteers within the tiny island of Singapore trying to solve society's problems with tech-based initiatives.
Thanks so much for the introduction, and thanks for touching on like what you mentioned about like racial equality and all that, which I'm very happy to get into it in just a little bit to ask some follow-ups about 2BUSG. But I'm just interested because you were mentioning about like skills-based volunteering, and I think it's really cool that Better SG accepts like a whole bunch of different volunteers from like different backgrounds, because diversity is what makes an organization thrive. So I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more about Better SG's approach to skill-based volunteering and how you make sure that like each volunteer's skills are being very well utilized. And you were also mentioning about the digital divide and all that in Singapore, about how like non-profit organizations or that some of them might not know best on how to fully utilize like the power of digital and all that into their operations, into the programs that they do. So I was wondering if you could touch on a little bit more on those two aspects.
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to skill-based volunteering, that focus or emphasis starts right at the onboarding level. So the way you join Better SG is that there is a fairly long, and some might argue a little intrusive onboarding form wherein we ask our volunteers to specify what do they do from a technical standpoint, and more importantly, what do they see in the Better SG mission that they can contribute to or that resonates with them. Why would they want to be a part of that community? And the most exciting experience is all of our volunteering, all of our volunteers basically come through that process. And it's really heartwarming in terms of how open they are when it comes to sharing different aspects of their both professional lives and technical skill sets, but also how they can see applying it to the different causes and what drives them. So when you fill in the onboarding form, you specify what you do. Are you a designer? Are you a coder? Are you a product manager? Or any other kind of technical skill set that you may possess, or you might even want to possess. So a lot of our volunteers use this as a way to hone their craft, to learn these skills as well. So that kind of makes for a good mix. So we have all the way from seasoned C-level executives to students who have just gotten out of university who are trying to learn new tech skills. And so that skill-based kind of onboarding and categorization, and then that information is made available to all members. So all our members can look up other members and see what skill sets they have. So if I'm working on an initiative that requires a designer, I can go through the internal member directory. And we also try to match people. Now, what are these initiatives? And the second part that you said, like, how do we apply it? And how do we put this all to good use? Typically, we have a few arms. The two primary outcome-based initiatives are projects, which are basically volunteer-led initiatives. So if a volunteer comes around and says, I want to tackle the issue on recycling, then, or somebody wants to tackle the issue on misinformation, they can go ahead and propose a project or a technical solution that they would like to build, pitch it to fellow volunteers and the Better SG community. And we have a core executive committee who will support them. But they can basically get started, and we'll provide them the resources, the structure to get started. And then they will invite other fellow members to join them. So projects is one of our key pillars. The other initiatives that we do is something that we call the consulting and advisory arm, wherein we invite nonprofits and charities to come talk to us, tell us what their issues are, what are some potential areas of operation or impact that could benefit from technology. And then we come about and propose solutions with it. So again, we find a team of volunteers who could work with the organization, understand the problem, propose a solution, and help them guide the implementation process. Those are two core initiatives. Beyond that, we do events and other activities, but that's how we go about it.
Right, I see. Thank you so much for elaborating on your volunteer process and all that, and making sure everyone's skills are utilized. It seems like a very thorough process indeed, and I think it's definitely very beneficial for the organization. I think moving on to the next question that I have, I guess the first one, which I have raised earlier a little bit about the digital divide in Singapore, if maybe this is something you can elaborate a bit on. And another question that I do have is that on your website, you did mention that you guys work closely with nonprofit organizations and what you are mentioning now as well, from my understanding. So I was wondering if you could touch on a little bit on an example of a collaboration with a nonprofit organization that went well.
So I do have my teammate Zikun here, who's been awfully quiet all along. I think he would be able to give you a little more insights. Zikun, would you want to take that question?
Right. So let me take this. I would say that from my understanding, for Better Doyoshi, how we collaborate with nonprofit organizations, really the first project team to project team, right? So for 2BU, for us, the collaboration was pretty important because we were building an app, but we also needed people to adopt it. We needed grassroots organizations like One People or interfaith groups, interest groups to adopt it. So we actually worked very closely with them to develop this app. And also because the subject matter of our app, right, was about diversity, was about tackling real issues and getting real experiences from people. And one of the ways we thought that would be respectful and would be right is to reach out to these, not racial groups, but communities, right? To reach out to these organizations, to work with them, to understand and hear from their members the experiences that they had. So that's that collaboration and support that liaising with them was really important for us.
Yeah.
Sorry, Shaleen, did I answer your question?
Yeah, sure. Thanks so much. You gave a better insight into the organization and all. And I guess back to my original first question, Rohan, about the digital divide, if you could care to explain a bit more on that.
Yeah. So I think the digital divide exists in a few ways, right? One is something as limited as, you know, having access to a laptop, which can help you with your homework or just general productivity, to something that is more skill-based. Like, the digital divide also extends to skills. So are you comfortable using an or a platform or a coding tool to automate your tasks, to being able to access digital services? Singapore is a smart nation. We pride ourselves in our digital initiatives. But the citizens and the residents may not always feel that comfortable or might just need that gentle nudge and push to be able to go. So we see that across generations. We see that across economic kind of sections of society. We see it across communities. So therefore, when we look at digital divide, we're not just looking at those that are digital first and those who are not. We look at all different kind of various ends of that spectrum. But what we're also hoping to do is there is the other kind of digital divide, which focuses on apprehensions against what technology does in terms of impacting society as a whole. Some concerns, like more recently with AI, are about, is technology always good for society? Has it been a net good? And I think if you were to take a step back, look at rationally, the answer would be yes. But in a day-to-day, you might find incidents where we think technology is not good, whether it's election interference or whether it is economic wealth and so on. What we are hoping to do is, through Better.sc, where we are harnessing the power of tech for good, we hope to change those perceptions and then make general digital adoption and tech adoption more favorable. When people see that technology is being used in very clear terms to do good, I hope that changes the overall perspective towards technology across generations, across societies, across communities.
Definitely, for sure, no problem. And I like how you touched on AI as well, because I think recently, the whole uprising of like ChatGPT, Google AI, Bard, and all that sort of thing. There have definitely been some apprehensions. So I'm wondering, I guess, when you speak to nonprofit organizations, your volunteers, the stakeholders that you all work with, I was wondering if you could elaborate a bit more on some of the apprehensions that they have. Are they apprehensive, like for example, AI will take over their job and all that? Are they apprehensive about the security part of AI? What usually are like their fears about it? And you mentioned that Better SG tries to alleviate those fears. In what ways are you guys trying to alleviate those fears?
Yeah, so I think there are two parts to that question. One is if you look to the volunteers and nonprofits from a volunteering standpoint, especially if you're doing a skill-based volunteering in the tech world, you realize that it is extremely understaffed, right? So there is just so much more that we would like to do from a technology standpoint for the nonprofit world, but we are very time-limited, resource-limited. And so the idea of automation and the scalability that it affords is actually very appealing because for every hour of volunteering work I do, now I can have a much greater impact from a technology standpoint. So on that end, there is a lot of excitement. And even internally at Better SG, the team is trying to use AI to automate some of our workflows and some of our onboarding flows. We are a fairly scalable organization at that from that standpoint. On the other hand, yes, there has been a degree of anxiety around the impact of AI on tech jobs, especially when you look at some of the younger members of our community who are just getting started, and then they're of the opinion of, do I even need to learn coding? The digital artists are like, okay, things can be generated automatically, so do I need to be able to do that? And I think this is where having a community that spans generations, and I said earlier, we have some very seasoned executives and people who have seen the industries and they're seeing trends. They can come in and they can tell you, hey, there were a lot of these concerns that existed when the internet came around or even when the computers first came around. And as it stands right now, AI is just a tool. And trust us that this is as good a time as any to get into technology because the leverage that AI will afford you would make it so that you could do more. And there, if you're a volunteer looking to have impact, you know that the world is not going to run out of problems. That's a perspective. And while it might be overwhelming, it gives you an endless sea of possibilities that you can work on, and AI should only help you unlock or solve many more of them.
Thank you so much. And I like how you reframe the discussion more as to AI having possibilities rather than it being like something of like great challenge or that, and telling like the volunteers and all that about like the use of still being human and not exactly to like over rely on AI and all that. I think that is definitely like a very good step to show how we cannot well work with AI hand in hand towards like our futures or in achieving things that we want, particularly in the tech scene. I think moving on to BUSG, which I actually did briefly try it out and I found it pretty interesting. I tried out the interface of Unisa. I'm so sorry, I might have that
No,
mispronounced the
Unai
name.
Sao is right. Unai Sao
Oh,
is
okay,
right.
great, fantastic. And she was like stepping into her role of a school teacher from my understanding, and
Yes.
I did experience some of the scenarios that she faced, such as that an insensitive remark by the taxi driver and all that. I hear that way too often, too many times also about like, oh, they're like sometimes they're not really aware about like the social situations and all that sort of thing, and her interactions with colleagues and all that. So I found that pretty interesting and I was thinking maybe I can dive into it. So Zuku,
Wow.
maybe like please feel free to take it from here. So I guess the first question about it is that what inspired the creation of to BUSG? I think you briefly described the need just now, but if you could get into that a bit further.
I think there were multiple, but I would say I think there are two things that really started to be you. So both of them actually came from my co-project lead and actually the founder of the 2BU project, who is Gaurav. Gaurav is also the CEO of Better.sg. So I think two things for Gaurav, right? So one was that he's been in the diversity and inclusion training space for a really long time now. And one of the problems that he was seeing is that if you look at this kind of like interfaith dialogue and trying to get people to talk about diversity, talking about like racial discrimination, oftentimes it's done in small moderated groups. The trainers, you also don't have a lot of them. The people who are participating will also have to commit anything from say an hour to about 2 hours of their weekends to take part in any of such activities. And so if you think about it, it's not very scalable. And so Gaurav comes in with his tech background and thinks about, well, how do we scale this? So he starts thinking about, you know, maybe we have a game, maybe it's a portable tech experience, right? So that's sort of like, I think, the beginning of how 2BU came about. But I think Gaurav himself also has some very personal experiences with, say, racism in Singapore. And I think that was also the root, like, I guess that was the emotional drive to like, oh, you know, we want to do something about it. And then the skilling portion is the tech side of, well, how do we make this into a viable setup? Yeah. Charlene,
yeah, for sure. Thanks so much, Sukun. And I definitely do agree about the point that you raised about how an interface like this is much more accessible for the public than if it's like focus groups and all that, because sometimes focus groups, some people might not have heard of it, or like what you have mentioned, they might have difficulty like committing to it and all that. Yes. So I was wondering, because you mentioned about like your founders and the experiences with racism and all that in Singapore. So I'm wondering if you can comment a little bit more broadly about how do you all feel Singapore's diversity and inclusion scene have evolved over the years, and what role do you feel that this game would play towards its evolution?
Wow. So, okay, I am no expert in how diversity has really changed in Singapore. I think I'm more comfortable opening it to the rest of the team, like Rohan and Jin. And I mean, look, I'm Chinese, right? So I don't feel like I'm the best person to talk about it, but I'm gonna take a step, and then Rohan and Jin, you know, please join, because I really have no idea. And I think afterwards, now answer the second part of your question, which was how 2BU comes in and address that. So personally, I feel like over the years we have moved from like the, oh, like everyone is a big family and like kabaya, you know, kind of like like the kampong spirit, where actually people in the past were also pretty racist, but they just didn't talk about it, right? Because if someone said something racist, you just had to, like, you know, for the harmony, for the whole harmony, you just had to shut up and take it. But I think now we're definitely seeing a lot more people willing to speak up and talk about like the small nuances and being like, you know, actually we are kind of racist in this way, and this is area that we can improve. So maybe on the surface it looks like there's more disharmony, but I think we're actually progressing a lot better, because now we can actually talk about the difficult issues and things like that. Yeah, I must say, I do think that we've also really been influenced by trends in the US, just because, you know, the US is such a huge cultural powerhouse. And so we're thinking about discrimination, we're thinking about diversity, we're thinking about race, gender, identity, ageism, disability, in ways that we as Singapore has just never thought about it before. And so I'm more left leaning, so I'm more like the so I think it's a good thing. Rohan.
No, I think Zikun, personally, one of my kind of perspectives is that being a majority actually does not discount you from this discussion in any way or form, right? I think, in fact, your perspective is way more valuable, because if we look at a society from a diversity standpoint, the majority's stance and outlook kind of defines and sets the course of the state of how inclusive we are in that sense. And so, personally, I felt Singapore was always a welcoming country. I came here as a foreigner about 12 years ago now. And I would typically fall in the minority races, so on to speak. But I don't remember feeling it acutely, at least at any point in time. And I guess it may have to do with the fact that if I'm younger and so on. But, and same as Gaurav came to Singapore very early in his career. But yes, you do hear some stories every now and then, and this could be either personal stories or even some of these news clippings and your Reddits and S gags and so on. And that does make the question, right? Like, how, where are we? What are people's true stances? I'm an optimist. I think Singapore does great when it comes to these things, especially relative to the rest of the world. Not that that should be our benchmark. Our
Yeah,
benchmark should be to go far
exactly. I
beyond.
agree.
But yeah, I think it's so great. And where else in the world would you have an initiative like 2BU? I don't know. I think Singapore is a testament to the fact, and 2BU is a testament to Singapore's commitment to something like this. And I think when I try to think about the issue, that's what I look towards.
Thanks so
Yes.
much. Definitely agree with what you all have said, and thanks so much for hearing both of your perspectives and providing a high level description to my answer. I guess moving back to a more micro level about the descriptions of the game interfaces and all that. So I noticed that there are quite a lot of profiles and all that to choose from, which I think is really good because it shows different, like, humans of Singapore, different elements of diversity and all that in the sense. So I was wondering the process behind it. How did you all come up with these characters, so to speak? What was the background, like research and all that done around it? Because there are many people in Singapore, and sometimes it's, difficult to capture so many unique individuals. So what made you think, oh, these type of people in Singapore, oh yeah, I think there's a market for it, there's a need to capture it, yeah, we'll go ahead with it. I guess what was the whole process behind it when narrowing it down and developing the various characters?
Understood. So I'm very glad you asked that. This is something I'm very proud of. So we started thinking about, well, okay, we want to expose people to the different life experiences of Singaporeans outside their realm of, the realm of knowledge. And so we sat down and I think we were looking at, well, okay, what are the main broad groups of people in Singapore, right? And so you have like different, like the by race. Well, I think we started off with racists. And then we started thinking about, well, okay, so how can we, so instead of thinking about, say, like these are the issues that we wanna talk about, we go, well, okay, let's go and talk to these people to learn about their experiences first, right? Because if you want to show your players the life experiences of these people, to sort of to expose them to these people and foster empathy, you can't speak for these people, right? You need to understand what their experience is like, and then do your best to represent it to players to engage them. So that's why we actually worked a lot with community groups to get access to these people, to speak to, say, people in the community to understand, like, hey, what are some like big challenges that your community faces? And so we did a lot of focus groups. We did like interviews with people to, to ask them, like, about what's your experience like, tell us about these things. And then in research, so you will see like common trends forming, right? And then from there we compile like these, it's almost like a research, right? So we compile these trends, these themes, right? And then we go to our writers and say, hey, look, so these are the issues that we're seeing from, say, this group and this group and this group, right? And go wild with it, right? Think about what you would write. So some of these issues, like I mentioned, it might be race specific, but you also hear things that, say, for instance, interracial couples, right? This could apply to Chinese, Malay, Indian, like across ethnic groups. Let's say for people who are transiting careers, right? So there's ageism, or say for sexual harassment. Again, this is across different groups, right? But what we really did was just speak to people, let the teams form. And then get our writers to go, hey, write something about this. So that's how we develop the different characters.
I see. Thanks for elaborating a bit more on the process. It sounds very thorough, as with like your volunteer processes and all that. So it's been really interesting and insightful to hear a bit more about it. How long did this game take to be developed? What was like the manpower and all that involved behind it? And I guess there's another question out of curiosity is this game available on like App Store, Apple Store, Google Play, and all that sort of thing? Or is it mainly just like a website interface and all that on your website so far? And what's the target audience for this? Is it mainly like students or basically in just a general sort of demographic?
Okay, so I know we have less than 8 minutes. So Shaleen, you just asked me straight fire, you asked me 3 questions. So we're gonna let me do that. Let me do that from the last two, because that would be faster to clear. So
sure, no problem. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
No worries. So where it's available, it's not only on, but it's on the internet. So you can play it through your mobile browser, you can play it on your desktop, like your Chrome or whatever it is. We don't have it on mobile, and we don't have it as an app, unfortunately, but with the internet you can play it everywhere. What was the third question? Sorry, the last one?
The last one was about the demographic. So what demographics is this specifically meant for?
So we actually designed it specifically maybe for people in school, so like under 18 or like people in their 20s, 30s. So we have a lot of them, but we're also seeing a lot of people in, say, their 30s, 40s, and even like 40s, 50s. So that's been interesting for us. We don't know why that is. It could be because most of our advertising was through Facebook, and that's where the old people hang out. So I don't know. In terms of demographics, also we see a slight lean towards female players. It could be because of the networks that's been shared. That I don't know, like maybe female players are more likely to share their networks. Things like that. But I think it's not a significant enough difference to talk about that, like, you know, be one maybe that one gender is more interested in these issues than other. I don't think there's really grounds for that. Most of our players are from Singapore. We do get a few people from international waters, but mostly it's Singaporeans. Yeah. Okay, then back to the first question, which was, remind me again.
No worries. And thank you so much. Sorry that it's getting a bit fast paced at the end. How long did it take to develop this interface, and how many people involved?
So personally, I do think we took some time. So we took about 2 years to ship 6 characters with, say, maybe about 3 chapters per character. So it's about 18 chapters. But the first release was done in about 6-7 months, I think. So starting from when we first came out as a group, and then we pitched to get the seed funding, and then to the first chapter being released, I think it was about seven months maybe. Yeah. And then afterwards it's just been the slog to get like each chapter out. And I think part of the reason why it has been such a slog is because we are a team of volunteers, right? And so not everyone can commit like 100% of their time. If we were doing this full time, maybe it would have been done in 6 months. But because it's like volunteers, and with volunteers, you sort of, people come and go. So it's often very difficult to get the full manpower you need. And so segueing to like how many people we're looking at, I think at the peak, we had about like 100 volunteers. But I would say that the core team of people was probably at most 15 people strong. Yeah. So really like a labor of love that you really have to slog through as the project leads.
I see. Wow, definitely involves like quite a lot of manpower, be it like the project leads, which like you mentioned, are the heart of the project, and basically the different volunteers that come in and out that do like some of the supportive work and all that related to it as well. I think just to wrap up with one final question, and for this, Rohan and Zikun can feel free to jump in. What are some plans that you guys have, not just limited to 2BU, but in general, Better SG for this year in 2024? And I guess ending off, if there's any particular program that you guys would like to do, any shout out off or all that sort of thing, we give that to all our guests. So very happy to let you guys take the stage and go ahead.
Rohan.
Yeah, okay, sure. No, so there's a lot that we're trying to do. So Better SG has grown a lot the last 3 odd years, a little bit more than that. So we are really starting to look at the possibilities and go a little bit more ambitious with our initiatives and projects. So one thing that we did late last year was we held our first conference of sorts. We call it Beacon. And it's something that was one of its kind. It was a conference for tech for good volunteers, nonprofits, and even actually big tech companies to come out together and look at social issues. And that was fairly well received. We had about almost a little over 400 people that signed up for it. And that set the course for a lot of interesting discussions and even some few projects. We are inviting our volunteers and even others who are not a part of the community yet to just join us. So we do a few of these events on a semi-regular basis. We have a think tank discussion. We have a pitch and demo day that's actually happening in a few days' time. We do this twice a year, where you can come in, pitch a problem, pitch a solution, pitch a technology product that you're building, anything that has a social undertone to it. It doesn't matter if you're a member of the community or not, and share it. And maybe you will find others who want to join you, join with you in solving that problem. There are a few more projects that we are undertaking. There are a few more consulting engagements that we are undertaking with different boards. We are actually even in talks to set up some kind of a formal office, because a maker space or a discussion space really helps turbocharge these ideas and put them into action. There's a lot that's kind of going on. We invite anyone and everyone to join us, right? Website's better.sg. You will find all of these initiatives right there. It's a simple form. You sign in and you're part of the community. We are always, always happy to have more of us, as well as to speak. And we can never have enough. So, and thank you again, Charlene, for having us. Zikun, I don't know if you want to add anything.
Yeah, well, I think my only plug is that if you're interested in the game, then you can go to tubu.sg, where you can play the game there for free.
Thank you so much, BetterSG. Thank you, Rohan and Zikun, for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thanks so much to Charlene, Rohan, and Zikun for so graciously and thoughtfully sharing their perspectives and impactful work with us. Head on over to civic-hackers.org for the links and resources we discussed. Hey hackers, let's do this again next week. I like you. If the feeling's mutual, go on over to civic-hackers.org to find out how to keep in touch. And with that, I'm Lori McNeil, wishing you all the good things between now and your next listen to the Civic Hacker podcast. In case you need a reminder, problems have solutions. Let's get to work.